Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 159 of the Self-Help Podcast. With me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal, Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm stunningly wonderful and amazing.
You're not looking at getting an iMac, are you?
I'm wondering about the monitor for working with GarageBand in the studio and having the screen big enough so that I can play with it.
Yep, for sure. Oh, yeah, you could do with a big screen up there, couldn't you?
Yeah.
We're talking about Sean's attic, folks.
Easy when you're editing, isn't it? That's the...
Yeah. It is. I mean, I've got quite a small little laptop screen here, but I did used to have one of those big 21-inch desktop things. So it's a bit of a...
I noticed they do a 27-inch here.
Big enough for me, that'll do. How's your attic doing? You okay?
It's very good. I've started doing... we put a booster on the Wi-Fi. So it's a powerful Wi-Fi signal. So
those things work, those boosters.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yesterday I was in New York, online. With no drop-off at all, which was amazing. This morning I was down in London, so it's like, it's good. I was in Wrexham and Monday.
Cool. Very good. I need to think about that stuff because our extension's nearly done. So we're starting to... think about getting furniture and Wi-Fi boosters and all that.
They do work. I was a bit skeptical.
Because you get them now that you plug it into a socket.
And it goes through the thing.
It goes through the electric socket.
I looked at those and I thought I'd go for the simpler option to start off with. And what it does is you start off with a basic Wi-Fi signal and this gives you two other Wi-Fi signals. So there's three. And the way it's really weird the way it works because one works on each floor. One's in the attic, one's on the first floor, one's on the ground floor.
Cool. And have you done a speed test?
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah, up over 30, times 36 then we've got.
Cool, very good. Well, this isn't the Wi-Fi podcast, folks, don't worry, this is the Self-Help podcast. We just like to talk about stuff before
we get going. Wi-Fi is often helps you do things.
Well, I tell you it is, because at the moment, at home, I have no Wi-Fi. It just switched itself off a couple of days ago. There's no dial tone on the phone either, so there's obviously something wrong in the lines somewhere.
That's not the builders, is it?
I don't think so, no. No, they haven't been here for a week or so. I really hope not. Otherwise, it's one of them, you get a BT engineer out and they say if it's your fault,
they'll charge you.
Bucket load.
Yeah.
But yeah, no internet. We've been stuck for things to do of an evening. Little Jacob likes to watch a bit of Netflix as soon as he wakes up in the morning. So
you mean you've had to talk to each other?
Yes.
No!
Looking in the eye and try and calm him down and, gee whiz. Never mind.
It's a hard life.
There's something else big going on in the world right now. Right, this podcast is going out the day of the EU in-out referendum in the UK. There's probably a good chance that by the time people are listening to this, unless they're the super hardcore listeners that get it as soon as it goes out, that the result will be out. And I'm assuming the world will still be spinning. But we're going to talk... we'll talk a bit about the EU here and there, but more I want to talk about how... we kind of can overcome disappointment, because either way, in this thing, 50-ish% of the population are going to be unhappy and dissatisfied with the results. So I thought a little episode about how to help the people that are disappointed would be relevant. What do you think?
I think that's right. It reminds me of football matches where thousands of people gather in a stadium to celebrate this event, and inevitably 50% of them, or thereabouts, are going to be fed up. 50% are going to be woo! And they reckon, don't they, that on the stats, on the innie-outie debate on Europe, that it's kind of too close to call at the moment, so it could go either way.
Are you in or out? Shows your belly button. Innie or outie?
Your belly's out, but me navel's in.
Yeah.
No, I'm an innie.
Yeah.
For all kinds of reasons, but I bleat on about if we all looked after each other, the world would be okay. For me, separating out doesn't make sense. And when I was a kid, my parents were in the Second World War, but the there were loads and loads of people around who had bits missing. Mm. When I was a kid, limbs missing, scars on their faces, all the people that had been through the war. And the war was still very much a real thing.
Yeah.
When I was a kid. And I think that generations after that didn't feel the same thing. But one of my fears is that the reason we had the two world wars was because Europe had broken down into individual countries that started arguing with each other.
Yep.
And then you start to get fascism coming in. So we had fascism in Italy, in Spain, it was in... obviously in Germany, mm-hmm. in Japan, people that wanted to take over the world egotistically because they were better. And it's like the us and them scenario.
The blonde hair, blue eyes brigade.
Yeah.
Like
yeah. Not so good if you were Japanese.
No.
But they had to accept the Japanese as part of the game, didn't they?
Yeah.
But that whole thing, for me, is about people separating out into us and them and saying, we are better than you, you're worse than us. And then we start fighting each other. And we see it happen in religions, we see it happen in politics, we see it happen in this kind of xenophobic nationalism.
Yeah.
And for me, it's all bonkers. You know, we are the human race, we are one. And until we learn to share and to look after each other, that we will continue to have strife and wars and starvation and problems.
Yeah.
You know? And people say, oh, that's you being a hippie, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, okay, I don't mind being a hippie. The reality is that when you look after each other, everybody is okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point for me. And it's like we're now at the point where we want to separate out and people want to separate out from us.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm the same, really. Well, I'm an innie as well. I've got an innie belly button too, which made my decision really easy. If anyone is struggling to make the call and you've still got a bit of time to vote, just go buy your belly button.
Yes,
that's what I would advise.
Yeah. Do you think most people's belly buttons are innies then?
I think probably 80% of people have an innie.
Perhaps we need to do a survey on that, don't we?
They should do that and tag that on.
Yeah.
Can you spoil it? That would cluster as spoiling your ballot paper, wouldn't
yeah.
you? Just add a little question on that belly button.
Are you an innie or an outie?
But yeah, I mean, in terms of moving on then, because yeah, like I said earlier, 50-ish% of people, if you're looking at the opinion polls, are going to be upset the day after, tomorrow morning, when this after this show goes out. So let's example start with, let's say you and I, yes, innies, wake up and we're out. I'll be pretty annoyed. So will. About 30 million people or whatever in the UK.
Well,
how do we start to get over that?
If we come out, if on Friday morning we're on our way out of Europe, I will be saddened because I think that's down to the stupidity of human beings. How's that for sounding arrogant? But that's the way I feel about it.
Mm.
The issue for me will be either which way. If we're in on Friday morning, we're going to go through a difficult period of time because of all the people that don't want to be in, that are going to have to go through an adjustment. So we're going to go through a difficult time, then it will settle down and it will be normal. But if on Friday morning it works the other way and we're in, then there's going to be a whole load of people that are around, whichever way around it was. But whichever way around, it's going to be difficult, but then it will settle. You know, it will become the past. But in terms of the present, live in the present, be here now, all my instincts are that we should remain.
Yeah, this isn't a party political broadcast.
No.
I'm trying to bring us up. Well, let's take the analogy, which I did see a good article, likening it to a divorce, what we're about to go through, potentially. So you deal with a lot of couples or people that are going through divorce. So how do you help the people that, the victims of a divorce, maybe, get over it and move on?
It takes time, usually. And the period of time between someone coming out of a divorce and starting to normalise is usually about 2 years.
Yeah.
From the divorce date, you know, and it's the issue of going around the anniversary. It's like a bereavement. You go around Christmas, birthdays, anniversaries. You come back to the divorce day. You do it again. Things are starting to normalise and move on.
Yep.
Most people coming out of a relationship will say things like, that's it, I'm never doing it again. And yet within those 2 years, most people are back into some kind of relationship. They're back in the game.
I'm never speaking to a man again.
Yeah, right, yeah. They should all be shot.
And then they come around to our charm and our wit, don't they? No, wonderful good looks.
Well, in my case, certainly. Yeah.
Okay.
But I think that it is an issue of time. But it's also an issue of forgiveness. And the problem is, we had that awful thing that happened this week. Now, I don't know whether the guy was psychologically disturbed, but the guy that took out Joe Cox...
Yeah,
the,
no, I found yeah. that really... not many things actually make me emotional. My wife will attest to this, like any movie, any movie, anything happens in my life, which could set some people off. Like, it doesn't really affect me, but I was watching some of the... Especially when, like, the MPs were talking about her in the House of Parliament. I found it really upsetting. And there's a picture of her, actually, which... Because her Twitter feed is still there, live, and you can go and see what she was talking about. She was a big Remain girl, and she was actually on that... You know when the flotilla went out?
Oh, right, yeah.
And there's kind of Bob Gales off. Slinging match with... A slanging match with Farage and all that log. But she was... She had her own boat... with her husband and her two kids with a big in flag. And there's just a picture of her with her kids, and it's as close to tears I've been for a long time, actually, seeing that picture of a little
family. Did you see the interview with her husband? He was a very brave man.
I saw that this morning, yeah.
Yeah, being able to do that at such an early stage, I thought, you know, good on you. But he is representing her.
Yeah,
And he stepped over his own ego to make sure that the best of her message came through.
I know.
And that was good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that kind of thing, where when does it become valid for people to be bumped off? I mean, we also had a case, I think it was yesterday, of a young Englishman in the States who tried to grab a policeman's gun to shoot Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now they're saying that he's on the spectrum and he's Asperger's. I don't know whether that is a mitigating circumstance or whether it was a rational act for someone who wanted to save the world from Donald Trump. I don't know. But when you start to get into this world where it's okay to be violent to the people that disagree with you, and we have that massive example of ISIS, who... in some extent demanding that the world becomes what it is that they want it to be. Mm. And what's the difference between that and the fascistic ideas of Hitler?
Mm.
You know, it's like, it doesn't matter what you think or you feel, but you will do what I say.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all that stuff, for me, it may be that the human race has to go back into a kind of a dark age and go through another world conflagration to get to the point where it starts to settle again. I don't know. But it's very sad if it does, because it doesn't have to.
Yeah.
But it only doesn't happen when we come together. If we keep separating out into us and them and you and me, then all we do is create more and more conflict.
Yeah. The UK would soon break apart and then...
Well, my
in my
blog, I mean, my nightmare scenario is that if we come out, then the first thing that is likely to happen is that Scotland will secede and will join Europe independently. Wales now has the ability to do that. We have a Welsh Parliament, no longer an assembly. They can separate out and join Europe, and some of the Welsh Nats have been talking in those terms. Even Cornwall would have the right to do that. maybe Northern Ireland.
Mm.
So what happens then? That, you know, we're left with little England, little country off the coast of Europe, our relationship with places like the States starts to break down because we have no influence left anywhere.
Yep.
You know, and really, what is it that that England has to sell the world? I mean, we've got some history, yes, we've got democracy, and we have a lot of those kinds of things. We don't produce much.
Football, our league, we've got a strong football league.
Okay.
We're not a very good football nation, but...
That sounds like Love Actually, where he's saying, you know, Beckham's right foot and Beckham's left foot come to that. You know, it's like we are a great country.
Well, they came out for Remain yesterday. Did you see that? The Beckhams.
No. Did they?
Yeah. Although, probably you've tried to put a quote with Victoria Beckham, but it turns out it was from like 20 years ago when we were joining the Euro or something. I was thinking about it. So she quickly smacked them down.
I think that the European project has done silly things, and I think that developing the euro in the way that it did was ultimately silly.
Yeah.
Because we didn't harmonise interest rates and benefits and retirements and stuff before we joined together. And that was a huge oversight. I mean, a very stupid thing to do.
Yeah, I wasn't... not before my time, obviously, but I was a bit too young to appreciate all that stuff.
Yeah. And I think that we were sensible not to join the euro. But had the euro been arranged properly, then I think we should have joined it.
Yeah, I think in principle it's a good idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just makes life easier for everyone, but
yeah,
hasn't quite worked out. Yeah. All right, well, let's look at it from the other side then. Let's say that the Remain camp gets their way. On Friday morning, there's going to be a lot of irate, angry Brexiters, a lot of which I've come to realise are Facebook friends of mine. It's amazing how many people have kind of really come out staunch Brexiters that you wouldn't think would have been.
But do you see that as kind of little Englanders?
No, I don't want to sound too pompous, sort of, because who knows who's right. I think the world will keep spinning either way.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. I think it's going to be difficult either way. If we stay in... And I think this is right anyway, is that if we stay in, then we have to stay in on the basis that we become much more robust at communicating and much more dynamic within Europe. That we stop this us and them business, we embrace the fact that we are a part of Europe, and now we go and deal with it.
But this that implies to all of us as individuals in our everyday lives
And
how we relate to people, which is what I'm trying to get at here. Because if the Remain camp does win on the Friday, I guess job number one for us Remainers is not to kind of rub their noses in it too much and antagonise them.
But I think a lot of the reasons why people are talking about Brexit are valid. They're just the Brexiting, is that a word, isn't it? So it's going to be in the Oxford Dictionary next year. But is Brexiting the way to solve the problem? I don't think it is, because if we are within Europe, we may disagree with loads of things and we may have to communicate and debate and argue and fight our corners on things, but we can be influential from within.
Yep.
If we're from without, we have no voice at all.
Hmm.
You know, that is... It's beyond me to understand why people think that we would be better off out of it.
I know.
But there you go. We have to wait and see.
I don't get it, but enough people do. Okay.
And it could be real, couldn't it? And if on Friday morning we're not in, then a lot of people who are in it will have to kind of adjust the way that they are working and what they're doing and make other kinds of decisions.
Exactly.
There's all kinds of issues too. Like I was reading about all the expats that are living in places like Spain that have their own properties there and how they will, rather than being part of a community, now become foreigners.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they lose entitlement to all kinds of health care and all kinds of stuff. It's no longer there. And there will be a huge exodus of expats coming back to Britain again. We'll have another influx
of
people.
And they're really old and they're going to cripple the health service. I'm joking. Well, partly, not really. I know. It just seems like a real waste of energy to me, to be honest. I get some of the kind of sovereignty issues and all that, but it's not one of the leading issues facing the world at the moment when you think of income inequality, not just in the UK, but globally. Yep. Obviously, there's certain environmental issues which I would place above all others, which trickle down and affect everything else, and even to things like terrorism, which is obviously a big issue.
Mm.
But terrorism is down to, in my opinion, income inequality and climate change, global warming, and what
I think there's lots of that in there. I think the issues of indoctrination and all kinds of things we have to look at.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm with you. I think that I don't get the idea that, hey, this is all right and it's okay and we should stay there and it'll be fine. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we should stay in, but we should stay in actively and dynamically and be actively attempting to change the things that are wrong to get them right, but from the inside.
Mm.
Yeah?
Okay. I don't know. Blimey. It's going to be an interesting few days, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting for you. Either way, the result, I think, if we remain, I think the Remain camp will be big enough to say, look, okay, cool, it was a close call, let's sit down and continue the work and make some changes.
The bits that will interest me most in terms of how we as human beings treat each other will be looking at what happens in the political sphere, whichever way it goes, you know, because there could be a huge bloodletting afterwards. If we're out, does that mean that Cameron's head rolls and there's bloodletting that way? Yeah. Or if we're in, is Cameron sharpening his axe to sort some other people out? You know, because all these people that were friends, are they big enough and mature enough to come out the other side in one piece? Or will there be, you know, the night of the long knives?
I know, all these guys went to school together, didn't they? And yeah. Especially when you look like Boris versus Cameron. It shouldn't be an issue in this debate, really, because there's bigger things at stake than just two guys' ego. But yeah.
But there are two guys' big egos that are kicking out there, and that does affect all of us.
Yeah.
Which may or may not be a good thing. It depends, doesn't it? Let's see what happens. But I think the maturity of any group of people is whether you can disagree, even energetically disagree with each other, but when a decision has been made, that we can then back up behind the people that have made the decision and start to pull together, or whether we have that continuing war, which becomes almost like an internal terrorism.
Yep.
If we're not careful.
I know, yeah, well, obviously what happened to Joe Cox, I know with this, well, I said the guy, we've had a couple of psychotherapy sessions in my view, but he'd obviously been sitting, we don't know for sure, but I think one of the main issues this guy suffered with was loneliness, because he's been, if you listen to his neighbours, he's a bit of a, sat in his house all day, didn't, you know, he was friendly enough when he went by and said hello, but if you sat in your house all day reading certain things and not getting the full picture, see where it can
ruminating on the negative.
Yeah.
And
his therapist was.
I suspect that we're talking about psychiatric issues here. I mean, obviously, it's not clear yet, but I suspect that's what we're into. But on the basis that statistically 30% of the population is on the psychopathic spectrum anyway.
Yep.
Then there will be high levels of psychopathy in the arguments that are being presented. And psychopathy in that sense is the ability of losing insight and losing empathy.
Yeah.
And if you think about the way that we potentially are treating people that need support as immigrants, we could say that we're being psychopathic about it. I think that there does need, again, it's one of those issues that it would be insane to say, just open the borders, everybody, come on in, because that would be unsustainable. And I think that, yes, there does need to be, if people are going to come here, there has to be some way of sorting out who comes here, why they come here, and what they do once they're here. I think that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if the issue is that we need to go and sort Syria out so people can be in their own houses doing their own things, maybe that's what we need to do. Maybe that avoids the world war scenario that scares the willies out of me, you know.
Yep.
Don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Who knows? I'm not a politician.
I'll bleed this into your resource of the week, but it's a book of yours, isn't it, Sean?
Yeah, which is, it's the first book I ever wrote with a lady called Susan Lancaster, who lives on Vancouver Island, overlooking the Straits of Georgia in Canada. Very nice.
Yeah.
And Susan and I wrote this book, which there was a guy, Sir John Harvey Jones, who was the business guru of the time, who used it with his guys and put a forward in it. But the it's about how do you get on with people that you don't like? How do you get what you need from people that are difficult? So it's like, how do you deal with difficult people? And how do you sustain things when it's tough and you'd maybe like to punch them on the nose, but that's inappropriate. And so how do you get the communication right? So the snogging concept is that if you get the snog right, they'll turn into a prince or a princess for you, unless they're a toad, and then they just taste nasty. So.
Okay, sounds quite relevant to what we've just discussed. All right, cool. My resource is a Seth Godin chat. If you don't know who Seth Godin is, you need Seth in your life. Marketing guru, but also has plenty of tips for life and learning and all sorts. There's an hour-long free chat with him on YouTube, which I will link to in the show notes. But again, the stuff Seth talks about is just everything that comes out of his mouth is just gold. Not sure what he's from the States. Not sure which way he's voting. I'm sure. I'm sure he'd be a Remainer.
A Romanian.
A Romanian, yeah, potentially. Like, well, that's it, right? Everyone in America's an immigrant. Even further, you don't have to go too far back. If you're an American, do you?
But I think we're all
well, we are. We just have to go a bit further back.
Yeah. I know my lot.
Well, you're not for you. Maybe you're from.
All over the place. My Chinese, I've got Chinese, Negro, Jewish, Irish, all in kind of fairly close proximity. So my brothers and sisters, my oldest sister looks quite Jewish, youngest brother looks quite Negroid. I've got a nephew who looks quite Negroid. I look quite neutral.
Mm.
Only I had very curly hair when I was younger.
Yeah, okay, I've seen the photo.
Yeah.
At some point all those folks were let in, weren't they? And they may have had a bit of a struggle, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But look, you wouldn't have this podcast, folks, if it wasn't for immigration.
but that's it, isn't it? And it's like the only natural inhabitants of this country are the Celts. That's as far back as we go. The Romans came in and kicked them, and then the Angles and the Saxons and the Jutes and the Vikings all came in. Your lot, you're a Viking, aren't you? You come from Viking country.
I'm a great rower.
I know. That hat with the horns on that gives it away.
Cool. All right, I'll tie this one up for now.
Well, next week we'll know, won't we?
We'll give it a brief mention next week, won't we? I'm sure. And well,
we might
actually, because we're about to record another show.
We might. Yeah. Who knows?
Well,
we might slip a special one in.
We'll have to do two versions of it, won't we?
Yeah. And any in and out T-shirt.
All right. Cool. So, liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. There's a few show notes and links from this week's episode. You can also get all previous episodes through the website as well. Every now and again, I update that archive page. I need to do that. Remind me to do that, Sean.
I will.
Good. I'm not sure what we're going to talk about next week, aside from the...
We're talking about happy news.
Yeah.
Because whatever's going to happen, we're going to be happy. Yeah, woo!
Exactly. Yeah, what's the point in even worrying about it? We're going to be happy either way, aren't we?
Yep.
Cool. All right.
You can't miss it.
I look forward to that next week. Sean, you take care. Till then.
And you. You take care. Bye now.
See ya.